This is a May Luna Media production. You're listening to Love, Light, and Black Holes. I'm your host, Morgan Garza, here to remind you of your disco ball soul so you can dance with your darkness. If you're sick of love and light spirituality like I was, you're in the right place. We keep it real, go deep, and give voice to your shadow so your light shines even brighter. Enter the void. Here we are, shame slayers and shadow sparklers, at the end of 2025, at the end of an era, and at the end of 5 months of the Love, Light, and Black Holes podcast. Woo! What a year it's been. Reflecting back on all of the things that happened this year, I would have never expected that I would be ending this year like I am right now here with you on the airwaves yet again. And a lot of the other fun projects that I have going on, which I will share with you very soon once everything is finalized. But this episode, I have talked about for many years now, not this episode, but the topic of this episode. And for the past 10-ish years, probably, I have denounced January 1st as the beginning of anything except a new calendar year, which even that is totally made up, which we'll get into in a bit. But I made a reel about this on Instagram 2 years ago, and it went viral and went a million plus views on TikTok. And since then, not that I started a trend, but maybe I did, who knows? Since then, I have seen so many other people talk about how January 1st is really just not the beginning of anything. Sure, we have 1-1 and numerology, and that's fun, and we move from one calendar year to the next, and we're moving from a 9-year to a 1-year, and there are certain shifts that happen. But we, as a society, have been told, and this isn't like a conspiracy theory episode, don't worry, this is just fucking facts. We as a society have been told that January 1st is the time that we have new year, new me. You start everything new. You start a new health plan, a new workout plan, a new mindset plan, a new meditation plan, a new reading plan, a new whatever, right? Everything is new. But really, we're exhausted by the time January 1st rolls around. Not only have we had non-stop events and holidays and gatherings and requirements of us since really Thanksgiving, but even nowadays it seems earlier, all the way back to Halloween, that we are just constantly pushed to output, to socialize, to gather, to travel, to shop, to do all of the things that nature and our bodies really don't want to do. And so when I started doing the opposite of what society and the media and our culture tells us to do in January, I started seeing so many shifts in the way that my energy was used, in the way that I was able to have more creativity, and it just really changed everything for me. So January 1st is not the new year. It's not the beginning of anything. It's just the first day of a spreadsheet, of a calendar that we made up. And we as in the collective humanity. And this isn't just like a trendy topic. This is something that is becoming more and more talked about because people are exhausted of this push, of this pressure, of this expectation to begin their entire lives in the dead of winter. December 21st is the beginning of winter. February is the peak of winter, and then we start moving towards spring. But our bodies and nature does not begin anything in January. We begin pots of soup, I begin putting extra layers on, but this is not the beginning of anything except soup and sock season. And I'm so tired of seeing people forcing rebirth in the dead of winter, and my inbox is filled with new year, new you, start fresh, all of these things that are pushing us towards beginning a new self, a new routine, a new everything in January. And I just continue to be repulsed by it. And I don't want anyone to think that anything is wrong with them if they don't feel ready on January 1st and they set these intentions or resolutions, then pick a word for the year, and then they have 3 months of just like continued descent we are not rising into anything until spring. So permission granted, as always, to say fuck that to all of the things that society tells us to do. And this isn't just rebellion for rebellion's sake. This is remembering what humans actually knew for thousands of years. And buckle up, because it is story time, and we are going to take it back to when this all began, because it is probably gonna blow your mind. This is why January feels so wrong. And again, permission granted to do whatever feels good to you. Before I jump into this story, I don't want you to think that I'm shaming you if you're like, January is my fucking vibe, dude. Like, this is when I feel renewed. Like, love that for you. I love that for you. This is for the people who do not feel that. This is for the people who are sitting here listening on December 31st thinking, I don't want to start anything except a new series and maybe get some new sweatpants and start actually resting because I am bone tired. So if that is you, hop into this story time with me, because once you hear this, you cannot unhear it. And suddenly January 1st stops feeling like a personal failure and starts feeling like a bit of a scam. So let's rewind. Way back before planners, before productivity culture, before New Year, New You, back when humans didn't organize life around deadlines, but the moon. For most of human history, time wasn't tracked by the sun the way that we do now. It was tracked by lunar cycles, because that is what we can see. That is something that is easily trackable. We see the moon in the sky. We know its phases. It waxes, it wanes, it goes new, it goes full. It is easy to track. So one moon cycle is about 29 and a half days, which means you get 13 new moons in a year. 13. 13 full cycles of light and dark, 13 menstrual cycles for women, 13 rhythms of rest and growth and decay and renewal. 13 times to plant a seed, 13 times to release anything that is holding you back. And if you're like, hey, this number 13 sounds familiar, it was demonized. It is also connected to the divine feminine, to the goddess. Because this number was so sacred and held so much meaning, the patriarchy, basically, turned the number 13 into something that was feared. There is not a 13th row on planes. There is not a 13th story in buildings. The number 13 is feared instead of revered for what it really is. And this isn't mystical woo. This is literally just what happened. We are tied to the moon with planting, with harvesting, with animal migration, with tides, our bodies, our blood, our birth. Life made sense when time moved in circles and cycles like this. And then Rome happened. And this is where it gets really interesting. The problem with the moon, from an empire's perspective, if you're trying to rule the world, is that she's inconvenient, much like men see women. She's fluid. She's cyclical. She doesn't give a shit about your contract. She comes, she ebbs, she flows, she wanes, she waxes. You can't easily collect taxes based on intuition and tides. And this, of course, comes down to money. So around 46 BEC, Julius Caesar introduces what becomes known as the Julian calendar. And this is a massive turning point in human history, especially in the civilized, evolved places that were running full civilizations with rulers and taxes and all of that. So like what we know to become the modern world. Because for the first time, time is officially organized around the sun, not the moon. 12 fixed months, predictable lengths, clean lines. They cleaned up the calendar in a way that we had to add a leap year. We had to have this organization that didn't just focus on the moons and her lunar cycles. It had to fit into a box. Why? Because Rome needed consistency, not for spirituality, but for administration, for taxes, for contracts, for renewals, for collecting debts. They needed to know when contracts renewed, when soldiers were paid, when land was taxed, when debts were due, and the moon was too wild and fluid for that. So the 13th month didn't get dramatically deleted like some villain monologue like, we are doing away with this, but it was ignored. It was left out. It was decentered. It was uninvited to the table. And the 13th number was demonized because if you want to do anything to change people's minds, you have to instill fear in them. And there were so many people who lived by the moon that to introduce this new fixed solar, really, you know, different structured calendar, you had to change people's minds. And the word calendar itself, this part makes me laugh every time, comes from the Latin calendae, which means the first day of the month. Not spiritually, not ceremoniously, not numerologically, administratively. The calends were the day Roman citizens were required to pay their debts. So on the first of the month, rent, interest, taxes, things like that to the empire. You can literally say with historical accuracy, our calendar is based on when Rome wanted people to pay up. Time stopped being about nature and started being about money. But our bodies never forgot. Now fast forward to 1582 when the Catholic Church introduces the Gregorian calendar, the one we still use today. And this was Pope Gregory the 13th, which, 13, was the Pope who introduced this because the Julian calendar was drifting out of sync with the seasons and even solar calendars aren't perfect. So the church corrects it, refines leap years, locks the solar year more tightly, aligns religious holidays with church authority, and further distances time from lunar observation. It was theological and political. Not spiritual, not in sync anymore. And this is again when the number 13 was demonized. It was deemed unlucky. And it was the time where witches who followed lunar time are also demonized. And we're told very subtly, don't trust the dark, don't trust cycles, don't trust your body, don't trust nature, trust us, the church, the empire, the structure. Trust the schedule, the grind, trust the first. And that is when January 1st became the new year. And here is the thing that no one says out loud. Nature never agreed to this calendar, and she keeps moving in her own cycles and seasons, which our bodies remember. Our bodies did not go into this structure. Our minds did, our culture did, our society did. But that is not who we are. You are biological. You didn't forget how to live. You were taught to track time by money instead of the moon. Before this structure was instilled, the new year was on April 1st. It was in the spring when Aries season started, when the spring equinox had happened, when we were truly in the cycle of rebirth in nature. When sap rises, when seeds crack open, when energy naturally wants to move forward. And this is how we have April Fool's Day, because when we moved into this new structure, the new year moved from April to January, which is so opposite. And anyone who still celebrated April 1st as the new year was called a fool so that they could get people to stop doing it. They were publicly shamed, I guess you could say. They were told that they were fools. And so anyone who celebrated the new year on April 1st, as it used to be forever, they were called a fool. And now if you didn't celebrate on January 1st, it was like blasphemy, right? So this forgotten new year, April Fool's Day, when we now play pranks on each other and make fun of each other and hide things in silly places to scare each other, this comes from the change, from the shift. It is the residue of an old world laughing at people who still followed natural time instead of imposed time. Imagine being called a fool for honoring spring and fertility and life in the time that it is supposed to be. I am proudly a fool. And I hope that maybe you want to be a fool with me too, because Aries season is the real energetic new year. This is when seeds bud, where nature awakens, where the warmth returns to the land, and you see, you can physically, literally see life returning. It is the initiation, the spark, the movement, the fire, and Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. So naturally, this is the beginning. And spring doesn't whisper, become. It wants you to be the leader of your becoming, which doesn't happen in January. And this is also tied to the body this season. Your libido returns, energy rises, vision sharpens, action becomes possible. Your clarity is crystallized because you have spent the 3 months of winter reflecting and reorganizing and cleaning things out. This is why we have the phrase spring cleaning, because it is the beginning. We open everything back up to the world, to the light, to the possibility, to the potential of what life has to offer. And this is when intention sticks, because the world is moving with you. The world is not moving with you on January 1st. Nature is calling for slowness, for coming within, for going within your house, within yourself, within your creativity, within your jars of storage that you've had to see what you've harvested in fall. This is the time for review, not reinvention, for listening, not launching, for cleaning house energetically, emotionally, and relationally, for allowing yourself to actually rest, because now what our society requires of us, this sprint from Halloween until the end of the year, when nature around us is requiring us to do the opposite, is terrible, not only for the nervous system, for our sleep cycles, but just for our entire essence, for our being. Because if we do keep pushing in January, we don't have a time to rest. And I read this story that researchers injected these giant redwood trees in California with adrenaline during the winter to keep them going, to stop them from going into dormancy, into rest. They injected these hundreds of year old giant trees with adrenaline throughout winter so that they didn't rest. They kept in their same cycle of blooming, quote unquote, of spring, of becoming rather than just being. And within a few years, all of these trees died because they didn't have the rest of winter. They didn't have that space to be dormant, to allow their roots to grow, to allow the growth that you see on the outside in spring to be within. And this is exactly what winter is about. There is growth happening. There is renewal happening, but it is happening underground. Roots deepen into the earth. Things are replenished in the tree that can't happen any other year because it is always on. You can't always be blooming. Nothing in nature is continuously blooming and becoming. It has to have space to just be. And so with this experiment and these trees dying, it showed that rest is essential. Rest is productive. Just as much as being productive is productive, you have to rest. You have to pull the arrow back in order to shoot it forward. And this is exactly what winter is for. December, January, February, the depths of the darkness is for rest and renewal. And then once we get into March, things start getting a little brighter, a little lighter. We have the hope of spring coming, the first little baby buds. We might be getting some energy back. And mid-March is when we shift into Aries season. And that is when we have the spring equinox. And that is when we truly move into a new era. But right now, in this winter, we are in the height of winter, of the dormant era. So rather than think that you have to start everything anew and begin everything in January, maybe you just reflect on what died in 2025. Maybe you name what cannot come forward with you into a new year. Maybe you release identities that kept you safe but small. Maybe you let grief finish what it started and allow yourself to truly feel everything that you felt that you've had to push down and away in this season of go, go, go. And if you listen to my episode about grief and the holidays, you know that this might be the most wonderful time of the year for some people, and for others, it's the worst. And so if you have been feeling any sort of that, this is the time to actually feel it. Because after the first, we are clear of holidays for quite a while. I don't know if you celebrate Valentine's Day. If you do, then that's probably the next major one. I personally don't. But nothing is required of you. And so this time is special. It is sacred. It is meant to be honored and revered, not pushed through. Imagine if you were at the end of a really long, exhausting day and you still had some work to do, or you had to do something that was required of you. And instead of resting and waking up early to do it in the morning, you pushed through and worked until 2 a.m. and then your next day was totally shot and your next couple days were shot because you didn't listen to your body. This is the exact same thing. You must listen to nature. You must listen to your body and take this time to do less, to be more, and to stop focusing on becoming and really hone in on who you want to be and start maybe planning for that. Maybe go through your closet and give away anything that doesn't align with who you're becoming and what you want to put out into the world and how you want to feel confidently in your body. Maybe go through your house and clean your baseboards and like all of those nooks and crannies. Like, this is the time to get ready for what's coming. This is really when the magic that you do in this season, and I'm gonna get a little witchy on you, and most of you are witches anyways, because I know where you're coming from. You're coming from my coven, but in case you are coming from the ethers and listening to this episode, I'm a witch. And this is the season that sets the tone for the entire rest of the year. Of course, we all love doing magic in the fall. We all love spending the witchy season casting spells and doing rituals and being really witchy and lighting candles and all of that fun stuff. But the only thing that makes that as potent and as possible as it can be to go as far as it possibly can is doing this magic in winter, to root down into yourself and to allow what is becoming to be formed and shaped in this season, rather than pushing through and thinking that you have to hard launch it now. This is the time that you are being asked to go within. And in numerology, of course, yes, we have the shift from 1 year to the next. This year, we are moving from a 9 year to a 1 year. And this is a threshold for sure. It is a passage through a 9 year, which was endings and completion and reckoning and collapse of outdated systems and loss, lots and lots of loss, to 2026, which is a 1 year. And it's beginnings. And yes, maybe from ashes, not optimism, and you have to build from the ground up, but it is everything new. A 1 year isn't clean. It's raw. It's forged. It's uncertain. It is full of potential and possibilities if you are willing to see them for that. It's not a bounce back. It's a rebuild, because you have burned a lot of things down in a 9 year, especially when that 9 year is paired with the Chinese astrology of a snake year. The 9 year, 2025, was a snake year, and it was about shedding. It was about letting go. It was about death and rebirth happening simultaneously. All I have been seeing from friends and hearing in circles and seeing on social media is that this year rocked people. My personal year of being rocked was 2024, but this past year, 2025, I lost my entire identity, who I thought I was, because without my dad, nothing made sense anymore, and nothing mattered that I thought mattered, and everything was reframed and reimagined and reorganized. And I spent this entire year letting go of who I was, of being this caretaker, of being continuously worried, of just so much of what I built myself into over the past 5 to 8 years, and allowed all of that to be burnt down. How am I spending my time? What am I doing in work? How do I want to be using my time and my voice and my skills and my talents and my desire and my creativity? Because I wasn't doing all of the things that I wanted to do, and I was doing things that I really fucking hated.
And it just got to the point where I was like, why am I doing any of this anymore? So this for me was also a very much shedding year. And we are moving into the fire horse year, which is movement and visibility and speed and leadership and rebellion and very much this Aries fire energy of just going with it. And I talked about this in the last episode. Fire horse years are associated with strong women, social disruption, and rapid change. And the last time we had a fire horse year was 1966, and the birth rates in Asia plummeted because strong women, especially at that time, are not really welcome. And because of this, fears around power and independence, especially in girls, have long been ingrained in society. But this is not the year to hide. This is the year to fucking ride. And it matters because only if the shedding of the snake was honored will you be able to ride like the wind on the horse that is taking you into the sunset. If you did not shed, if you did not let go, if you are still holding on to outdated beliefs, identities, relationships, jobs, systems, anything that does not align with where you're going and you know it doesn't fit. It's like wearing pants that are too tight. It's like very obvious what is not working for you. If you did not let that go, you are going to fall off the horse next year. You are going to think that you are being dragged by your feet through town naked if you do not let that shit go right now. This year, before we move on February 17th into a whole new Chinese astrological year. Because this is how new eras are born. It's not new goals, it's a new era. We also have all of the outer planets having changed signs. We have a lot of Aries fire energy happening in 2026 in general. We have Saturn shifting into Aries, which is responsibility around leadership and action. We have Neptune in Aries, which is dissolving illusions about identity and courage. We've just spent a long time with Neptune in Pisces, which is disillusionment and thinking that things are just going to be great. And we are stuck in this trap and we're seeing this in consumption in general and in media and in marketing, that things are just shifting. People are not consuming the same way. They are not scrolling the same way. They do not want to engage in things in the same way as before. We are literally waking up from being in an illusion. And so this dissolving of illusion with Neptune and Aries brings about a sense of a re-identification of self. And this courage to actually act on it, because now we're like, what in the fuck is going on? Like, who has been in charge around here? Like, we are waking up appalled about what's been going on. So this is total fire everywhere, and things will ignite or burn, and maybe the things that need to burn need to go, and the things that are being ignited, like, we'll see how far they go. Aries isn't great at finishing things. They're really great at starting things. So you might have a lot of different fires going in 2026, and we'll just, you know, see what sticks, see what turns into a bonfire, and see what fizzles out into the embers and ashes and is ready to be born into something else. And if you don't compost in winter, this fire will feel destructive. So this compost can be literal, but it also is really more energetic and emotional, and what you are not bringing with you into this new era. It is so much more than a new year. We are starting a whole new cycle in so many ways, and it is requiring you to be reinvented. I'm not saying that this has to happen on January 1st. This is like a year-long experience, and really for the next 9 years, you are going to be becoming this new person. So go easy on yourself. Don't expect everything to change overnight. Don't put so much pressure on yourself to reinvent everything all at once this year. Give yourself time to let go and to grieve and to realize what was not working for you, and in the ways that you allowed yourself to let go, because that's super important too. What you allow is going to give you so much power, because you're going to have to first identify what it is and become aware of it, and then understand why it was there. And then once you have that understanding, then you are in total and complete freedom from it. So, this is huge. January 1st is not the new year. Stop trying to become someone else. There is no new you. You are just becoming more you. You are shedding layers. It's like you're taking off all of these winter coats that are making you feel like you're going to spontaneously combust if you don't get them off your body. And once you have all of that off of you, you're going to be like, oh, hey, there I am. And let winter finish its work. This lasts until mid-February, really March, that we have the depth of winter. And depending on where you live in the world, you might be in full snow through April. Honor that. Allow nature to be in a symbiotic relationship with you the way that we always have been. Living in these boxes with these paved roads away from what connects us to who we actually are is self-induced amnesia. And the more that you keep believing that you are not part of nature, that you have to do what society and social media tells you to do, the less you are going to allow yourself to discover what is right for you. And trust that clarity comes after rest, not before. You can't have bright ideas when you're exhausted to the bone. You must rest this season. January 1st isn't the beginning of anything except soup season. Put on a nice pot of soup, put on some nice cozy socks, start a new series or a new book or a new podcast or whatever, a new project that you can do that does not require you to start new of anything. And take an inhale before the spark of Aries, because it is going to kick down the door and say, let's go. And you're going to be ready because you're going to have done this work between now and April, March, really. And this is exactly how you move in the cycles and seasons of nature instead of against them. So rest now. The fire is coming. You don't need to rush to meet it. You are exactly where you need to be, doing exactly what you need to be doing. Just give yourself the moment of rest and reflection, and you'll see just how wonderful that makes 2026. I'll see you next year. Love, light, and black holes. Thanks for diving into the void with me. If today lit something up in you or cracked something open, follow the show and leave a review so we can magnetize more shame slayers and shadow sparklers into this world. Want more? Step through the portal at lovelightandblackholes.com. That's where the wild magic lives. Until next time, dance with your darkness like it's your favorite song, and watch the whole universe light up.